Brook families, how are we doing this week? I hope everyone is having a glorious week as we are here again from South Brook Studios, Wednesday, recording for the family. We're glad that you are tuning in. And so, you know, we like to mix things up. I think it's good to mix things up. Hopefully, many of you listening have a growth mindset, because we're going to completely change it up, and we're going to lead today with South Brook Kids. So if you're a creature of habit, I genuinely apologize. So we're going to kick off this week with a South Brook Kids segment first. And again, if you're tuning in for the first time, you've never done this before, the podcast is available on nearly all outlets, Apple, Google, Spotify, SoundCloud, all these places. And we want to push you as well to our Facebook page. So if you don't follow that, you don't like that already, so go to the For the Family page. It's on Facebook, and like that and follow it. We put resources there. There are times when we throw some questions up there. But it's just a great place to have everything located in one place, like books we recommend, articles we recommend, things like that. And so go give that a follow, give that a like, and stay tuned to For the Family. And so I'm excited, as always, if you've been with us almost every week, which is really cool. We've had volunteers from South Brook Kids on the podcast, and the main reason I want to do that is because I really want you guys to know these amazing volunteers that make this ministry happen. I mean, these churches would never last. They would not survive without volunteers, and these leaders and volunteers are the backbone of our ministry. And last week, you got to hear from Mr. Wilson. This week, I'm super pumped again to introduce you to Mr. Ray Watts. Mr. Ray, how are we doing, brother?
Good. Thanks for having me here, Eric.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited about this. I want our people to just, like I've been saying, to hear your all's heart, get to know you, to know that, man, every week it's you guys that are making this happen. My kid comes in. He has Mr. Wilson one service. He has Ray. Loves seeing Mr. Ray. Loves seeing Miss Katie. If it's Miss Erica, if it's Miss Carrie. Like, I mean, it's just so cool that there's so many people that not only speak into them, but show them that they're loved, known, and valued on a weekly basis. So, man, I love having you on here and just having our people get to meet you maybe for the first time or know a little bit about you. So thank you for taking your time to do this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem. And so Mr. Ray, I'll call you Mr. Ray because, man, that's how I know you. I've obviously had the privilege of knowing you almost ever since I came on staff here. We were just talking about this before we started. I think I came on almost 4.5 years ago.
Right.
And I came on originally to South Brook. The purpose was to start a fourth and fifth program. Fifth graders were in with middle school. You know, Shane was the middle school pastor at that time. Fifth graders were in the fetal position in middle school because they're in there with eighth graders. They're like, why are we here? And so we came up with the idea to do the first time a fourth and fifth grade program. And I remember launching that and closely after that. So let's go ahead and introduce you first before we jump into this.
Sure.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, family. We got some family, Ray, right?
Don't yeah, we? Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. So I have a wife, Sarah. I have an 18-year-old daughter, Emily, who goes to Epic here. And I have a 20-month-old, William, who we call Will, who attends here also. He's warming up to it quite well now.
Yeah, he's an awesome little man. That golden hair coming in, you can just see, oh, he's a cute little dude.
Oh, man. Yeah, he keeps us all busy.
Right? Just like my 2-year-old, for sure.
But it has been about 4 years. So the way I came about serving back here with the children was, I was already serving in some other places in the church, mm-hmm. and I was kind of spreading myself pretty thin there for a while.
Yeah.
And, I was trying to figure out like where God could use me, where he really wanted me. And it just happened to be through a spell where we were short on volunteers, and Charlie had mentioned that we weren't able to open some rooms back here one time.
Yeah.
So I told my wife, I was like, I'm going to go check into this.
Yeah.
So I started to look into that and kind of procrastinated a little bit. I think I made contact with somebody. We couldn't get together.
Yeah.
And so about a month later, I still hadn't made it back here to serve. Mm-hmm. And it happened again. And Charlie mentioned we weren't able to open a room for these children.
Yeah.
So I popped in. I walked back here. I didn't really know where it all was. Yeah, I just walked down here, and I popped that's my head great. In your room. And you're like, "Hey, who are you?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm Ray."
Hey, I'm Ray.
I'm looking to serve. And you're like, "Well, you're in the right spot.
Come on in."
Yeah. So absolutely. that's kind of how that all got started.
Got to rapping, and that's how it happened for sure, man.
Pretty
I love
much,
it.
Yeah.
That's great, man. You came in. That's so great. And so, like, what's even more fantastic about this is you were there with me from, like, the beginning. That's what's cool about this. Like, you know, getting to know you, getting to meet you. And that's what's great about volunteering like this. Like, for me, I'm on staff, and I loved being in that room with all of these volunteers, you guys, constantly. Whether it's me, I would be up there teaching, you guys in there, we'd be on the same page. We'd talk about what we're going to do for that program, and you guys were there, you know, having fun with the kids, talking with the kids, impressing on them, and just, again, high-fiving them, letting them know they're valued. I mean, we had a new program starting, and I had so many of you amazing volunteers that really made that thing happen. And so I can't tell you, again, how much I just appreciate you. But on top of it, you were there with me from the beginning. I think it's a really cool thing that we'll always have, so you better never leave.
You're right. Like,
I always have Ray. I look at Ray, and I'm like, man, that dude was with me from the beginning. It's really cool. And I love seeing it because, you know, at that time, you were in that room as, like, a volunteer. So, you know, it's a lot different now, which is cool. I love
right.
it because you guys are all now teaching. So
yeah.
you guys all rotate, right?
Is right.
there, like, for you, do you have a certain time when you're doing that? Because I know everyone kind of has their service.
Or yeah, I mostly am there for the 11:30.
Okay.
And we all do kind of fall into those lines a lot. Mm-hmm. And then if someone needs, you know, or is out or whatever, we'll
help out, right?
Yeah. We'll kind of jump to someone else's.
You brought up a great point earlier. I don't know if our parents know this, our families know this, that I remember that because I remember, you know, obviously working in SBK during that time when Charlie kind of made that announcement from the stage. And if families, you don't know this, we very much have a safety protocol that if we don't have enough volunteers in a room, we don't open a room. And so that's mainly out of safety. Obviously, we don't want to have, you know, whatever that is, 8 to 10 kids in a room, 12 kids in a room and one volunteer in there. That's just like, I would wish that on my worst enemies, right?
No.
Kids running around, it could be crazy. And so that's why that had to happen at that time, because we didn't have enough volunteers in the room, and we won't open it if it gets to a dangerous level like that, just out of safety for kids. So, you know, if anyone out there is listening now, and maybe this is something new, and you're like, man, I'd love to jump in and serve mainly. I'd love that you share that, because for you, it's almost like this was out of desperation, right? It turned into a passion of yours, right?
Yeah, it was somewhat out of desperation, but it was also, that need was dear to my heart. I mean,
yeah.
So I was away from a church for a long period of my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, I did attend churches. And it was a bus that came to our neighborhood and picked us up. We weren't always with family.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we just went on a bus and went.
Yep.
So now as an adult through my journey and as I've grown closer to Christ, I realized like how important that was when I was young, that I had that I got that then.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was away from it for a while, it was in me that whole time.
Yeah.
It was always there.
Yeah.
And so realizing like that these kids may not be able to get something that day, that really affected me.
Wow.
And then I've got little siblings and cousins that are younger than I am, and I've always just been, you know, good with kids.
Yeah, you're fantastic with them, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. And my kid, my kid loves it, and it's just so cool. Again, I can't preach about that enough of you guys make it happen, but all the different voices in that room are so great. Like, in a weekend, we're talking, and they're about to hear what we talked on this past weekend, but in a course of a weekend, it's someone different each service talking on the same thing, but a different style, a different personality, a different voice. I just think it's a really cool thing.
I've never thought about that for some of the church kids who are there all the time,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like, what's that like for them to experience that from everybody? That's got to be pretty cool.
It is, especially like, and there's times, you know, my son might be here all weekend because he loves being in there, so he might be in there 5:30, 9:30, and 11:30. But I'm always like, but it's the same message, but it's Ray. It's Wilson. It's Kate. It's somebody different each time. So he gets a new spin. It's just a really cool thing.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. So, all right. So we got to know. Hey, what do you do for a living? Where are you
working? So currently I work in the maintenance department for Bellbrook Sugar Creek Schools.
Great. Okay.
I've been there a while. I graduated from there as well, so it's kind of odd to be back there working. But
similar story. That's how I was when I was in Louisville. I graduated from my alma mater, and then I went back working in the athletic department there. So it's how about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Spirit animal.
Right.
All right. So let's do this. Let's, again, as we always do, families, we're going to jump into the content from this past weekend. And this is the launch of a new month. March is here, hopefully. Spring is here soon. Yeah, let's get into that. We can't wait for spring. But with a new month means a new focus in the Southbrook Kids Room. Every month is a different focus for the entire month. February was focused on service, and March is going to take us into a whole new focus, and I believe that's on an individuality, this idea of uniqueness. And so, Ray, if you don't mind, like families, again, to remind you, every week we almost have a focus on what they're talking on, a scripture verse, all those things. So, Ray, if you don't mind, will you share with our families what that was from this past weekend?
Yeah, sure. We're into art in me, or image of God. Genesis 1:26-28. We'll kind of get you to where we're at.
Yeah.
Our memory verse is, "How you made me is amazing and wonderful. I praise you for that. What you have done is wonderful. I know that very well." Yeah. Psalm 139:14. So we're going to just be diving into that. You know, we've been talking about it a lot, about a lot of serving and how we can serve. And coming out of that, going into this, this image of who they really are and how they were created.
Right. Right. And I mean, it's a big deal, because we lose that as we lose a sense of this as we grow up, that, man, at our core, this series is called Made. I love that. It's called Made, discovering who you're meant to be. And so it starts off with that. It starts off from the very beginning, before you launch into anything, to understand that you have been created in the image of God. And I love the old quote I've heard before, is that you are literally image-bearing recreations of Christ, of God, right? That he stamped you like him. And that says, again, just from that simple fact, you have immense worth and value. That God says it there in Genesis 1:26-27, and God said, "Let us make human beings, let us make man in our image to be like us." I mean, that is a big statement, right? You're not just wasted away. You're not just something to be thrown away. You are something that was made in the image of God. And to help instill that in our kids, this, again, it's a question of identity, right? Who am I? You are an image-bearing recreation of God, right? Your identity flows from the reality that God stamped you with him, right? And that every one of us walking around have that about us. And so it's hard, because there's so many things, and maybe you know that as well, that there's so many things through our culture and as our kids grow up and the day-to-day that try to rob them of their identity, and that essentially identity theft takes place, and they lose sight of who they are. And hopefully at a young age, if they can start to grasp this idea that I've been made in the image of God, that it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what that person at school said to me. It doesn't matter that this didn't work out the way I wanted it to work out. It doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, my value and worth isn't in things and people. It's in the God who made me and says, "I've created you. You are known. You are valued. I stamp you with me." Right? I mean, it's just a cool thing. But it's hard, because we live in a world that is just trying to rob us of that. And so, families, as we start this series on Made and Southbrook Kids, that's the direction of this. It's called individuality. Again, discovering who you are meant to be. And it's the 5 weeks as we go through March. Each week there will be a different emphasis. The series starts with this idea and this reality that everyone is made in the image of God. And in there is that question. Is there a question, I know, especially in 3rd through 5th, that there's this bottom line that you were made in the image of God, but they leave there with a question to think about, right? Do you mind sharing that with us, Ray? Do you have that there?
Yeah, we have a few things we try to leave them with.
That's great. Yeah, share that, because you do. That's right. There's
the key question that we leave them with is, what do you think it means to be made in God's image?
That's great.
And for these kids today, I mean, if we think about, you know, how hard maybe that was for us when we were kids, yeah. You know, as busy as the world is in their lives and all the distractions that they have compared to what we have,
yeah,
it's just, you know, it blows my mind. Right. So for them to, that's a pretty serious question. It's pretty big yeah. when you think about it.
It's pretty loaded for sure.
Yeah, and these kids, sometimes they don't really maybe see, I mean, adults don't see themselves that way a lot of times.
Yeah.
So for kids, this is big.
Yep.
I really like we've come out of serve into this. And so we've been building on what they're capable of doing and what their qualities are and how that they've been given all of those things mm-hmm. by God for a reason to use, no matter what it is.
Yep.
Some of them are good at sports. Some of them are good at music. Some of them maybe can dance. Some are good at math or science. They all were created equally but uniquely Absolutely. To be used in God's image. And so it's been really cool talking about, you know, how they can serve because you can, they can get a little rambunctious sometimes and not pay attention.
Yeah.
But when you get into some of this core stuff and they start listening, you can tell they're thinking, wow, there really is something inside of me that, you Absolutely. Know, maybe I can use somewhere.
Because inherently we all want to know that, right? I have, like, I think that's at the core of all of us, whether believer or not, you have the question of, do I have purpose and meaning, and what am I here for? Like, I think even from a young age, like, that's exactly what you're saying. When you start talking about purpose and what they're created for and who created them, why they created them, like, man, mm-hmm. that's, you're speaking into some soul-type questions. And, man, even from a kindergartner through fifth grade, I think that is going to draw them in a little bit when you start getting into that stuff.
Right? Yeah, it does for sure.
That's great because I share that a lot. We try to do that in our home, and I don't always do it perfectly. And we try to, especially with our kids. Braden, you know, Braden's a fourth grader, and I talk to him about this. I don't do it enough, but I try to drill in him the idea that this right here, you're created by God. Like, God loves you. He has value and worth in you. And your identity, and this is identity stuff, your identity is in him, like, not mom and dad. Like, not what you do at school, not in your schoolwork, not in your athletics, because, you know, he loves that right now. And so I said, Braden, you have to understand this, these questions about identities, even though this is big right now for you, but to start thinking of that God loves you for you. He's created you that no matter what happens in your games, no matter what happens in school, on that test, no matter what happens and the mistakes you made, that God still loves you. And that's your identity. Like, you know, we live in that culture where we have misplaced identities left and right, where if, for example, if my identity is my sport, right, that I am defined, I am a basketball player, that is my identity, right, which we try to speak into kids. You know, Charlie and others here on Tuesday nights, we do the player's box where it's trying to speak into essentially some of those things, where if you view yourself as, I told Braden, if you view yourself as I'm just a basketball player, right, your highs and lows are based on your performance. So, yeah, I did well tonight. I feel good about myself. This is who I am. But my lows are brutal because my identity is in the game. And so when I don't perform, my identity is rocked, and I'm about to have a mental and physical breakdown because my identity is here. But if you are secure, you are liberating the fact that my identity is in God and who he says I am. It doesn't matter how I perform on the basketball court, in the classroom, in my work life, as we grow up, and it's all rooted in God. That's it. And so there's a security to that it takes a long time, right? That takes a long time for a lot, adults. There's a lot of us. And man, even I talk about it, and there's times where it's an everyday battle, right?
Oh, man.
That reality of,
man. For sure. There's a lot of adults maybe walking around that never fully get that, you know?
For sure.
I was one for a long time. It's kind of funny, but, you know, you were talking about that basketball or how much anything. I mean, any sport, any one thing you're good at or whatever can start to define who you are. Mm-hmm. And that becomes your identity because you see people like it. I'm good at this and people like this. And
and
so then that becomes your identity. So through some of the things I've been learning about myself, I had created multiple false identities from the time I was a little kid through an adult, you know, trying to fit in, you know, wanting to be accepted somewhere because I didn't know who I was and how I was created.
Yeah.
So it is important to get it. Because if we don't realize that, you know, all these children, in there, they all have a purpose, you know.
Yep.
They're all different. One of the things we talked about recently was if God created us all the same, you know, we all look the same. Maybe we were all good at playing guitar and singing, and we all sounded the same, and we all played the same. Like, music would be kind of boring, right? or if we were all just good at soccer, maybe there wouldn't even be football or basketball.
Yeah, it's all just one thing. It's pretty, that's a great point, because even Paul talks about with the gifts of those in the church, right? We all have a gift. We've all been created with at least one gift or ability, right? And the same thing. I tell my kids, hey, do you think God gave you these talents, these gifts and abilities just to use for yourself?
Right.
Just to be selfish with that. No, I give you this just for you to keep that and soak it up in the sun, get applause. Like, no, like it's like that point. We do that to give back, that I'm made in the image of God. He has created me. He stamped me as his own. He's given me abilities and talents. Now go and use them, right? Hopefully bring praise to him and be, you know, as a benefit to the kingdom. I love that. That's so good. And parents, as we share with this content with you, you know, obviously the biggest things we want to do is help you to continue the conversations at home. As we start talking on this series on made, discovering what you were meant to be, and this first week, obviously the focus of you were made in the image of God. And here's some things to think about, all right? And if you don't, you know, download the Parent Q app. It goes along as well with this content from week to week. Some things to consider, okay, we talk about how we break down our time with our kids, maybe morning time when they wake up, maybe there's drive time, whenever that is, there's meal time, and then there's bedtime. And granted, we're not being legalistic, you can use other times with that, but these are generally the ones that people think about, of leveraging that time together with your kids. And some things to think about, and maybe in your morning time, when you greet your kiddo in the morning, tell him or her, I am so grateful, this is great, I'm so grateful for the way God made you. I think you're really awesome at, and you can fill in the blank, you're awesome at whatever that is, man. You're awesome at encouraging. You're awesome at loving. You're awesome at serving and helping. Like, throw some things out there to let them know, because, man, already and from kindergarten even up to fifth, our kids are starting to wonder, do I have value? Do I have worth? Do people notice me? Do people love, you know what I mean? And then we know you do, but voicing that is a whole different thing. And so, man, as they wake up, think of that. Give them a hug, a big old hug in the morning. I love you. I thank God for the way he created you. I thank you that you're mine. You know what I mean? That we get to enjoy you. I think that's a great way to just to start off the day, right? And I think another thing you could do is, you know, read Psalm 139:14 with them. This is David's words. How you made me. This is David saying this. How you made me is amazing and wonderful. I praise you for that. What you have done is wonderful, and I know that very well. It's a great thing. Maybe, I don't know if you're this type of family, but hanging that up somewhere. A great place to hang that is on a mirror. A great place to put that up, because as your kid walks into that bathroom, there it is on the mirror, and it's like, you know, inadvertently they don't, you know, they see that, and they're now reading that over themselves. It's like a subconscious thing where to get them to start thinking about that and speaking it into themselves.
That's a great idea.
And I'll give a couple others before we start to wrap this up. There's some questions you could ask your kids. If you could use just one word to describe yourself, what would it be? Again, it's talking about them and kind of their uniqueness. If you could use just one word to describe me, what would it be? Maybe that's, you know, again, you guys are talking to each other and it's about you and it's about your kiddos. There's some question for parents. If you could use just one word to describe yourself, what would it be? You would then do that with your kids as well. So it's like you sit down, you have this discussion. For me, Braden, hey, how would you describe yourself? How do you think you would describe yourself? And it's curious to hear what they say and their take on themselves. And then as a parent, I'd say, oh, I think I would describe myself as this. Like, it's just having starting to have a discussion about the individuality of us and how unique we are. Even though you're my kid, man, there's some uniqueness to you that I don't have. And so it's just to get them to start talking about and how we're wired differently. And there's purpose in that, and there's value in that, and God wants to use those things, right?
Man, if they get that, you know, if they hear that and they receive it from somebody, you can almost see the light in them start to glow.
Mm-hmm.
Once they realize, like, I have a purpose, I have something inside of me bigger than me,
right,
that I can go out and use to help other people. It's just amazing. It's like their eyes light up.
Yeah.
One thing, you look at your kid all the time and think of them as that saying, you know, do you see me and do you like what you see? That's something that came from a journey I've been on myself recently. But yeah. It's funny how it relates to being back here with the kids a lot of times. But if you look at them anywhere, sports, whatever they're doing, they're always watching to see if we're watching them.
Absolutely.
You know, they want to see if we see them, if we know what they're...
And not only that, our responses to
yes, they want to know, do you see me? Do you like what you see? Yep. Did I do good? Am I pleasing? Right. You know, they're looking for this. And all we have to do is give it to them. And it can be little things, just like you said, in the morning when you're talking to them. Man, I love how, you know, you do this, or you make me laugh, or how you love.
Absolutely.
You know, all those things can be used.
And it's the same thing when – and I try to tell the parents with this and the families with this when we – and with sports. Man, don't ever – like, I try not to, and I fail at this too. Don't ever, like, reference the results, if that makes sense. Like, I try to tell them, tell your kid, I just love watching you play. Instead of saying, hey, great game today. You know, okay, so if I say great game today, but the next day I don't say great game, which is now it's kind of like this performance-based acknowledgement, right? But instead, if I just say, even in the midst of when you would say that performance isn't great, I just love watching you play. Can you remove yourself from the results of your kids' games and just simply say, I love watching you play?
Yeah.
I mean, it changes things. Instead of just saying, hey, like, compliment the effort rather than the results. And it's a hard thing because I struggle with that with my kiddos, of saying, hey, man, and we've tried to do this with everything, of school, of tests, of games, of, man, when you hang your head. But here's the thing, you know, I don't care. Like, as long as at the end of it you think to yourself, did I put in a great effort? Did I feel like at the end of it I'm satisfied with the effort I put in? Mom and dad are cool. Mom and dad are cool. I don't care. Like, we'll work at these things that you've struggled with, whether that's in schooling or on the field or on the court. We can work on those things. But at the end of it, it's just the effort.
Right.
I'm not going to say, hey, don't praise you for being a smart kid, or just praise you for being a great – hey, I just love watching you play, and I just love the effort. I mean, those are things that I think change the way that kids will see that, right? If I make a mistake on the court, it's not mom and dad hanging their head like, oh my gosh, he did it again. No, it's me actively watching and giving the thumbs up. Hey, yeah. I love watching you play.
Yep.
Right? And yeah, that's a great series. I'm excited about this. I love it that it's called Made. I love the look of the graphics and stuff. And I'm a dork about graphics, so I love the looks of those. And I think it's great. It's like stitching the letters in Made. I love that. That, again, God made you. And if you guys look for books, like there's a cool kids book out there that you could read with them. It's called When God Made You by Matthew Paul Turner. And it's a cool little illustrated book that it's just a great book to read over your kids. Again, they're trying to discover their place in the world, in this life, and to know that there's a God that loves them and made them. And it's a book that you can read with them that kind of helps to reinforce that. Mr. Ray Watts, thank you for taking your time. I mean, man, thank you for taking your time on the weekends with our kids. Thank you for taking the time to sit down and do this. Glad we got to hear from you and get our families to meet you, another influential person who helps our kids to feel known, valued, and loved every weekend, brother.
Oh, I love being here. I get as probably more from the kids than they get from me, that's for sure.
All of us, for sure. All right. Well, thank you, families, for tuning in this week. Again, student ministries, we're gonna shift to that now here in a little bit. We're going to move to that segment. But thank you for tuning in. Again, they're in a series, SB Kids are in a series on Made, discovering who you were meant to be, and talking about the image of God, week one. So thank you all. Hopefully we'll have you guys tuning in next week for the family. All right, we're going to now transition to student ministry segment, Epic High School and Middle School. And if you're joining us now, we threw off things a little bit this week. It was just, hey, let's change it up. Let's mix it up. And so we led with Southbrook Kids. And now we're going to wrap up with Southbrook Students. And again, if this is your first time checking out for the family, I encourage you to go to Facebook, find our page for the Family Podcast, and like it, follow it, because we'll post resources there, questions, interact with you guys. It's a great place where all of it's located. You can see links to all the podcasts there. Podcast is available in nearly every outlet: Spotify, Google, Apple, Anchor, Stitcher, SoundCloud. And you can check it out in all those outlets. And we are going to be wrapping up a three-week series we've done with our kids this past week called No Filter, which we've talked about social media, gaming, all sorts of different things of the digital world, even texting, because we know that with middle school is different than high school, where middle school, I even took a survey of them in week one just to see how many of you are on social media, and it's maybe a small amount of them, of maybe 20% of them. And so we talked really with middle school from the just getting them prepared for that, to have a firm foundation of just boundaries and guidance and being aware of some things. And you know, very much that texting can be that sort of vice for them at this age, and finding, you know, their worth and value in the fact that they're getting tons of texts a day from friends and things like that. And if they're not getting them, they might feel like a lack of value and worth. And so just hoping to get them oriented in the correct way of finding all their worth and value in God, and then just instilling boundaries in them when it comes to just navigating our digital world. And we recommended sources for you guys to check out. Glow Kids by Nicholas Carderis, Navigating Our Digital World by Kara Powell, Tech Wise Family. Just those are on our Facebook page. So we link to them on Amazon, so it'll take you right to those books if you wanted to check them out. Just some great resources for you to help, again, learn more about our digital world. They give you some practical things to do in your home to kind of put some boundaries down. And it's not in a sense of demonizing these things. It's in a sense of, man, this thing's is a great tool. These are great tools that we have for connection and using them in the right way. And like anything else, having self-control when you use those. And so this past week, we really focused on getting our kids to think ahead. That when it comes to digital media, social media, texting, to make up their minds ahead of time was the focus. And we pulled this from Proverbs. And again, Solomon, the wisest man to live, the book of Proverbs are like these axioms. It might be these quick little verses that he throws out there when it comes to dealing with relationships or dealing with people in business or dealing, like all these things. Like, it's like these axioms that he has used to live by, or things that he's noticed or observed in people that have been beneficial, and conversely, things that were destructive. And so one of those verses is Proverbs 14:16. And I think it's a great verse for us to look at, and it's what we focused on last week with our kids. And it says this, all right? One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil. And here's the converse side of this. But a fool is reckless and careless. And so we use that to get them to start thinking ahead of time, to be wise and cautious, to plan ahead. And we understand that while, you know, social media, text messaging, smartphones, this digital world helps us to stay connected, while it does that, it keeps us connected in digital relationships. But on the other side, it helps us to be more isolated. Like, if you think about this, right, most of our kids are maybe by themselves in a corner on a couch in a chair with their phone in hand texting, or just, you know, navigating around social media. And while they, and that's, and again, parents, this is for you to understand, that's how they feel connection. I mean, this is like them scrolling through their feed. It's like them scrolling through the lunchroom, really. It really is. Like, it's how they feel connection. As they go quick to the phones, I know a lot of families may feel they're trying to disconnect from family, but a lot of times it's them feeling connected with their friends and everyone around them. And so that's their number one way for connection, is getting on the phone, texting, getting in chats. For some, if that's Instagram, Snapchat, others, you know, that's how they connect with their peers. The thing is, in this world, it's constant and never stops. And so we're talking about, again, instilling boundaries within them and operating wisely with those and cautiously. And so the other thing it instills is a sense of isolation and loneliness. And so we laid out this formula for them that it's kind of like the old saying. Remember the old saying that the idle hands are the devil's workshop? It's like old saying. I remember my grandma used to say that. And it's kind of the same concept, that in isolation and privacy, trouble can happen. When, especially when you feel disconnected, when you feel things are not going well for you. And I say this, that the enemy craves to push us into loneliness, into isolation, and to say it's just you. You're alone in the dark on this. There's no one there with you. And so that kind of spins out of control in their mind. And there's this formula that we put up. It says loneliness plus privacy, man, plus Wi-Fi can equal trouble, like can equal trouble. And so to, you know, in those times, maybe it's someone that has wronged us or did things to us, and now we're feeling isolated and alone, and we're at home and we have our phones. And in that setting, we've talked about this before, behind a screen, We dehumanize people. They're not there. We've lost empathy for them. And so when they're not there, it's easy for us to lash out from this place of hurt. We start to see other people as merely as objects, not human. And so when we start to objectify people, it's easy for us to lash out. And so we talk to them about this tip that anytime you see a person, and to get them to understand that everybody is made in the image of God, is made by God. Anytime you see a person who's made by God as a product for you to use, you are about to do something you'll regret. I mean, when you start to objectify people, when you get them and you reduce them to an object, you're prepared to do something you'll regret. And we try to get them to always be aware and to see people as images of God. And when you think about that, that this is God's creation that's on the other end of that, whatever it is you're about to send digitally, when you see that, it makes it harder for you to want to lash out and say those things. And so we're trying to get them to constantly be mindful that what you're about to send, what you're about to type, and what you're about to text, or what you're about to post, will it add to that person, or is it going to take away and tear down that person? And so to get them to start thinking ahead, and that was, I mean, when we look at this verse, when Solomon says, one who is wise is cautious, right? He says wise here, and I want us to think about that. That's what we talked with our students. What does it mean when we use the term wise? Is it about who makes the best grades or is the most intelligent? Sometimes, in fact, very smart people can make very unwise decisions. Wise people are people who make decisions that are better for their future. Like, they're not thinking of the short term. They're not thinking of immediate gratification. They can pause, take a break, and think to themselves, how does this affect me in the long run, right? Again, we talked last week about our students during adolescence, that impulse control kind of goes out the window, right? And it's from a lack of that prefrontal cortex being fully developed, they rein in their emotions because their emotional part of the brain is two times the size of the prefrontal cortex in the thought processing. And so when emotion comes in, I feel hurt, I feel anger, I feel rage, I don't have impulse control, so I'm ready to lash out. And we try to tell our two students to pause at that moment and be cautious like a wise person, to think, okay, I can lash out right now and this might feel good for a second, but then in the long run, this could be extremely destructive, not only to myself, but to the person on the other end of that. And so to think, hey, how is this better for me and for my future? Does this help me become a better version of myself? Or is this going to bring me down, destroy me, and destroy someone else in doing that as well? A wise person is also are people who go for the best life has to offer, what Christ has to offer, instead of just following what everyone around them does. I think that's something to think about when you start to talk to your kiddos about what it means to be wise. Play the long game rather than the short game. Think about what the life, walking the Spirit, like we talked about last week, walking the Spirit, how that's the best way to live life instead of what everyone around them is trying to tell them is the best way. Then he continues on. He says, not only being wise, but being cautious, right? Cautious is defined as being careful to avoid potential problems or dangers. It doesn't mean you live sheltered, frightened life. It just means that you know how to look ahead and see where there could be trouble. Again, looking ahead, thinking of your steps before you actually take them. Again, this is hard. This goes against how teens want to operate, right? They don't think like that. They don't think, hey, let's stop and think this out fully to illuminate the path before me instead of taking a step and let's see where these steps are going to take me. So Solomon goes from, okay, one who is wise, is cautious, and turns away from evil. And then he transitions to those who are foolish. He says, but a fool is reckless and careless, right? Reckless. I mean, that's somebody who doesn't even think things out, not cautious whatsoever. He's not thinking ahead about how things may harm me. They're just going, just rushing in and not even worried about the consequences or the outcome. That's kind of what this idea of reckless is. He talks about that in the same breath as careless, someone who has no care at all. Think about that. Have you ever said anything careless to someone? maybe it's like one of those where you sit, where you've said something and you wish, how many times I've done that, where I've said something and I wish I could have grabbed those words and put them back in my mouth. Like, that's kind of what this is. You didn't have any care. You said something before you thought about it, and you wish you would have switched that around, right? Think about it. Pause. And the sense of when you're angry, when you're hurt, to pause and to think about what you're doing before you say that. And that's what it is. The wise person is cautious. And it's big when it comes to social media, when it comes to texting, to make up our minds ahead of time. And so we had this formula we talked about, like loneliness, privacy, plus Wi-Fi can equal trouble. Then we had the triumphant formula. I love this formula. And it says like this. It's, if you were to write it out, it's pre-decide plus pre-invite plus plan a way out will equal triumph. And so we broke this down for them. Pre-decide is simply, man, think about this. Make a list of things you will and will not do or say on social media and texting, especially when you're by yourself. And maybe it's things like, maybe it's which sites you will avoid and when you're by yourself, to stay away from these places, to write these down. Maybe, again, I am big on parents talking, having this open dialogue with your kiddos about this stuff, to be real about this, to talk about, man, we have an open dialogue at home when it comes to, man, these sites to avoid and why that is. Number two, and pre-decide, which lines you will never cross on social media or texting. This should also include, you know, like, man, in the midst of hurt and pain, like, even though I am hurting, what are the things I will refuse to do? I will not do this in those settings. I won't diminish the image of God in someone else. I won't tear them down. I won't make things worse. What sorts of things will you refuse to do or say to another person online? No matter how much they've insulted you, hurt you, or frustrated you. Because it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to lash out online. Like I said, when no one's around, you will do all kinds of things to someone more than you would if they were there with you. You will do all kinds of things you would never do face-to-face with them. So that's pre-decide, to think ahead, to plan ahead, to make a list. And so the next one is to pre-invite. I love this part. Pre-invite is simply inviting someone in on these things, like having someone, like maybe it could be a parent, but maybe it's another adult or someone in their life who will help them, hold them accountable to these things. Maybe it's also a student, a peer, that will help them together and say, hey, hold me to this, hold me accountable to be wise and cautious, to not just run off at the mouth, or we should say run off with our thumbs, because that's what we're doing, right? Whenever I feel like it, to have someone invited in that we can work on this together and talk about this, and that will help me in these times, to help me to pre-decide and plan ahead and to be cautious, and rather than lashing out of impulse. And it's one of those too that maybe it's a person that if you are losing control with this and you need to take a break, maybe it's this person will help you just, hey, I need to take this away. Can you help me remove this from me? And that's kind of plan a way out. That's our next one, plan a way out, an escape route, if you will. You need to be able to have a handful of exits when you find yourself in a tough situation. For example, maybe it's, you know, and it's simple as these things for our kids. Maybe it's as simple as deleting an app, right? And maybe it's as simple as removing your, hey, I need to get rid of my phone for a while. Bringing someone in on that. Maybe it's telling you're the parents, hey, I need to remove this from me. Can you take this for a while? Maybe it's a friend in their life that they can, you know, just, hey, I got to be done with this. I have to delete the app. Oh, I talk about this, like a digital fast is a great thing, right? If that brings a source of anxiety and frustration to a kid, maybe that kid is in too deep, right? If you think of this idea of a digital fast, of taking a break from things, we have that a lot. In fact, in this series, we've had students that said, I am taking a break from whatever it is, Instagram, texting right now with friends, and just trying to recalibrate everything. Maybe it's... you know, maybe there's a way out with you know, I've ever done this. Maybe they could say, parents, maybe you're the way out for them. Maybe they'll have a discussion with them. Hey, if you're ever in a tough spot, man, let me know. Give me a sign and I can call and you can say, my mom's calling. I got to go. Like, there's these kind of key things that can help them get out of a tough spot with friends or whatever. So to summarize that, it's pre-decide. What will you do and won't do when it comes to interacting on digital media and texting? Pre-decide, these are the things I will not do. I will avoid these. Ask someone in that will ask you tough questions and hold you accountable. And pre-plan a way out so you will know how to escape danger before you're in it. And I think that's big. I mean, these things are key of man, if I was active, even when I was young, to actively think ahead, to think, hey, how can this decision kind of wreck my future or help my future? I think it would have changed some things for sure. And it might not have. I still might have made bad decisions. But it would have helped me kind of look at these things and think long run instead of the short term. I mean, we live in a culture of immediate gratification constantly. I got to have it now. I got to have it now. I got to have the newest thing now, the newer phone now, whatever that is. I have to have it now instead of, just being patient and pausing and taking a break. And that's what we really wanted to instill in the students this past week as we talk about to learn to pause. I think Charlie's talked about this in the bigger room, the holy pause. To take a break and think to yourself, how can I respond in this? Or maybe I shouldn't respond. Maybe I should let this go. And I know it's hard because, again, age of outrage, everybody's lashing out left and right at everyone, and there's rarely any pausing going on and thinking to myself, hey, there's someone on the other end of this that is made in the image of God, and how am I going to either tear that down or build that up? And so that's what we talked about this past week. And parents, you can talk about this a lot with them. About, just planning ahead, taking a pause. Maybe there's examples in your life you can share with them of where, man, we failed at taking a pause and it really hurt us. I talk to my kids pretty openly about that as well, that there's times where, I've messed up or I should have paused before I said something. I apologize for when I've done that and just let them know, man, it's always a struggle. But to learn to be able to pause and let emotions die down before you respond, maybe let a day go by or whatever. It's just a great way to think. And again, as Solomon said, one who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. And you could even read through that with your kids. You can talk about that. Again, check out those resources to help us instill better boundaries and better just guidelines when it comes to navigating our digital world. I hope this series has been beneficial. We are wrapping up and we'll be starting a new series next week. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to send those to us on our Facebook page. We'd love to answer those. And again, I just hope that if anything out of this series that, man, parents, families, you have become informed more about the digital world, maybe the importance of just taking breaks from those and having more physical interactions with your families and get-togethers and creating space for that to take place. And hopefully open up a dialogue as a family, a place of trust where, we can talk both ways about digital media and how to better navigate that world and better deal with the things that, man, that world kind of tempts us with. And so thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully you will tune in next week for another episode of For the Family. Thanks, everyone, and have a great week.